The lights blinked out in the next instant. A red panic light flashed on, illuminating the tunnel as it filled with steam. John and Paul held their breath and barreled through the doorway to the control room.
Don't move!
But the crewmen of the control cabin were already moving, stumbling in the darkness that was relieved only by two pinpoint panic lights set in the low ceiling. John and Paul didn't wait for them to load their guns. Rourke's flashlight beam swept over the room.
You left!
Rourke sidestepped right as he spun left. Flashlight and 45 moved as one, blinding an elite corner.
Paul! Get this thing under control! I'm killing the steam and restoring power! Then I'll lock us in! Right!
Rourke rammed the nearly empty Scoremaster into his trousers and grabbed the second pistol as he reached the door. A man, recognizable only by the uniform and the gun, lay on the tunnel floor near the doorway, nothing human-looking left to his red, raw face and hands. John stepped over the body and drew up his goggles. The beam of the flashlight he carried in his belt swept crazily over the ceiling of the tunnel. Rourke pulled both gloves onto his right hand. He'd burn himself, most likely. He held the flashlight in his left hand and reached his right into the steam from as far behind its jet as he could. Pain seized him as his double-gloved hand penetrated the spray. He closed his fingers over the emergency bypass control and turned it. John yanked the life support system 10 out of the pipe, stumbled over the flange into the control room, and pulled the door to.
John!
The normal lighting had returned, and the contrast to the hell-like exterior nearly blinded Rourke as he stared past Paul Rubenstein. The AV-16's maneuvering controls were shot to pieces. They could be rewired. He looked at the view screens, but not in time. Less than 4 minutes and the AV-16 would roll over the edge of the plateau.
Give me a hand, Paul. Fast!
What do you want me to do?
See if you could bring up the locations of the rest of the vehicles in the squadron.
Right.
Rourke crossed the compartment to what appeared to be the main computer console and sat down at the keyboard. He began typing access names. Missile targeting brought up the program he wanted as the seconds ticked away.
John! Got all the vehicles I can find located. Might have missed one, but I don't think so. And we don't have Michael in the ATSEC, that's certain.
Hang on.
Rourke scanned the program. He had it.
Try this sequence. A-19, C-6, F-13, W-3, K-5. What do you got?
Bingo! She's running!
Rourke's eyes left the green screen for the computer console, the whirring of the drives grinding in harmony. He shifted his gaze to the heads-up on the view screens. Each vehicle Paul located appeared on the view screen by its sensor impression with a target designation, one after the other. There was probably an override program that would allow the AV-16 in which they rode to target itself, but no time was left to find that. And the fall over the plateau would obliterate this machine at any event.
Can you launch?
Paul looked at him.
They couldn't be.
They aren't nuclear. I got that out of the program. High explosive anti-tank.
Rourke smiled, then moved to the door, his right hand stiffening, the skin cracking, as he moved it within his glove. He pulled the glove away.
Where are you going?
Rourke glanced at the view screens. About 2 minutes remained until the AV-16 rolled over the edge of the plateau. Rourke doused his right hand with the German antiseptic healing spray.
To the turret! I'll get the particle beam weapon and go out through there. Soon as you have those missiles launched, get the hell out of here. I'll see you on the outside.
Rourke didn't wait for an answer. He threw open the door and shoved a fresh magazine up the well of the nearly emptied Scoremaster. The second 45, one round fired, still in his waistband. He ran along the tunnel now toward the center of the vehicle, ticking off the seconds in his head. Rourke rounded the bend and neared the approximate center of the AV-16 and spotted an overhead hatchway. He wheeled it open, then pushed the hatch up and climbed. He loosened his M16 on its sling and flung the weapon through the hatchway opening. Rourke launched up through the opening. About 52 seconds remained before the AV-16 went over the precipice. An elite corpsman sat in a reclining seat, synchronized to turret movement of the energy weapon. A second man, a gunner's assistant of some kind, stood crouched beside a small control panel. Both men had pistols in their hands. Rourke safed both pistols as he spun toward the hatchway, kicking it shut. John reached to the floor, grabbed up the M16, the buttstock penetrated several times by pistol shots. He wedged the rifle's barrel over the hatchway door. 25 seconds at the outside. Rourke went to the energy weapon and studied the mount system. A simple push-through bolt secured with a large cotter pin. Rourke tore the cotter pin free, then pushed out the bolt. He wrenched the heavy weapon free of the mount. A cable fed down from the cannon through the mount. 20 seconds. Rourke glanced overhead. The bubble of the gun turret was partially cocooned in titanium or something like it. The interior covering looked like plexiglass.
I hope it's plexiglass.
Rourke pulled on his gloves. The cable extending from the gun was well insulated. He pulled out the LX-10 and hacked. Rourke grabbed the live end of the cable and held it to the dome. The surge of energy ignited the dome. Instantly, flaming chunks fell from the turret. Grabbing the energy weapon with his right hand and arm, Rourke reached his gloved hand into the flames. Catching hold of the titanium cocoon, he hauled himself up and through, catching his parka on fire. Rourke stumbled through the opening and down to the shell of the AV-16, wind tearing at him, snow blinding him. He squinted against it as he rolled across the armored missile platform's hull. Tube hatches were open, steam and vapor rose from them. Mass launch of the platform's missile complement was imminent as he rolled his body, trying to extinguish the flames. He looked forward. The AV-16 neared the abyss. His parka still aflame, the energy weapon clutched to his chest. John Rourke pushed himself up and jumped, flames all but consuming the sleeves of his parka, the legs of his snow pants. The roaring of the launching missiles numbed him as John plummeted through empty space. John slammed into something that filled his mouth. It was snow. Rourke burrowed into the drift and listened as the missiles found their marks. The ground shook beneath him. He tried to look up but could not, forced down by concussive force of explosion after explosion as the missiles reached the targets clustered around him, followed by secondary explosions as the weapons within the armored vehicles of the Soviet assault force themselves exploded. The ground seemed to break away from him. Snow showered down on him. The flames were gone from Rourke's clothes. The explosions kept coming.